God's grace is yours in Jesus. Amen. The word of God that we'll look at today is recorded in John chapter 10, previously read. In the name of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, dear fellow sheep and lambs of God's flock. Tell me, who are you listening to these days? You got a favorite podcast you listen to? In light of the recent NFL draft, maybe you listen to Andy Herman on the Pack a Day podcast, or Aaron Nagler on Cheesehead TV. I wouldn't know anybody that would listen to those other than maybe you rather go to social media. You've got to see what people are saying on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, or maybe you get your news from the news. The war in Ukraine, the plunging stock market, the rising gas costs, the war over Roe v. Wade. Maybe you're listening to the voices at work who are complaining about this and griping about that and saying how much better it would be if this would happen. Maybe you're listening to the voices in your head that flip-flop between telling you that you are better than everyone else or you are absolutely good for nothing. All of which oftentimes leads us to just be more anxious and worried and afraid and angry. There's a lot of voices in our world today that can just bring a person down. Which is why today God invites us to listen to a different voice, a voice of someone who knows each one of us personally, who loves us unconditionally, and who has our future in his powerful yet loving hands. On this Good Shepherd Sunday, God invites us to listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. Why listen to his voice? First, because of who the shepherd is, and secondly, because of what the shepherd gives. I think it's kind of ironic that when God invites us to listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd, he's actually talking to a bunch of people who don't want to listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. John records the event with these words. Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. The scene takes place late in Jesus' third year of earthly ministry. He's in Jerusalem for the festival of dedication. We today would call that Hanukkah. And as was often the case, as he's teaching, he's surrounded by the Jewish leaders who confront him with this statement. How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. You can almost hear the exasperation in Jesus' voice as he says, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. In other words, Jesus knows that he has already clearly told them who he is. Remember how he said, for example, before Abraham was, I am, which immediately led them to pick up stones and try to stone him because they thought he was claiming that he was God, which was a sin of blasphemy. Or you think about how he later said, the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. And yet in spite of those clear statements by Jesus, in spite of all the miracles he did to back up those statements, the majority of these Jewish leaders refused to believe him. The question is, why? Why didn't they believe what Jesus said? Well, there's a number of reasons, but one of them was the fact that Jesus didn't live up to their expectations of what the Messiah would be. Right? They were looking for the Messiah to be some kind of military hero who would throw off the Roman rule, who would make their lives so much better, who would make sure they had plenty to eat. Think about when Jesus performed the miracle of feeding the 5,000. What did the people do? They tried to make him a king by force. But when Jesus made it clear that he was not a bread king, but rather he was the bread of life, and he promised that whoever ate from him would live forever. Oh, the Jews said, no, we don't believe that. But here in our text, Jesus alludes to one other reason that they didn't believe. He says, you do not believe because you are not my sheep. Now, don't misunderstand those words. Is Jesus saying, well, because God didn't choose these people to be his sheep, that's why they're not believers? Jesus is not here teaching what some churches call double predestination, right? God chose some, but he didn't choose others. And boy, if he didn't choose you, you'd never be a believer. And that kind of means that your unbelief is God's fault. No, just the opposite. Jesus says the reason these people don't believe is because they refuse to simply listen. They didn't want to hear what Jesus had to say about himself. They refused to believe it for whatever reason, because he didn't meet their expectations, or they didn't think they needed to be saved, or they were better than everybody else, or he didn't do what they wanted him to do. Which, if you think about it, presents a bit of a warning to us too, doesn't it? It's easy for us to say, God, here's what I need you to do. Here's what I want you to do. My back is killing me. I wish you would just make it better. Or, God, if you would just bring that special someone into my life, boy, then I would be happy. And God, if you could just, you know, put the right people in office, or make the laws what they should be, or if you just give those people what they have coming to them, boy, then I'd believe in you. Let's be careful that we first don't spend more time talking to God than listening to him. I mean, God certainly wants us to bring our request to him in prayer, but let's be careful that we aren't recreating God in our image of what we want him to be, namely a bread king, to come and fix our problems on this side of the grave, to give us what we want here on earth, whether it's physical or financial or political, all the while just ignoring the more important spiritual and eternal gifts that God gives. Isn't that the message behind the lesson of Mary and Martha? Remember that where Martha comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, come on, make Mary help me. While Mary is sitting on the couch listening to Jesus. What does Jesus say about that? Only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. What Mary knew and what Martha learned is how important it is for God's people to spend time simply listening to the voice of their good shepherd. And why is that so important? Why do we listen to his voice? Well, first, because of who the shepherd is. Here in our text, Jesus makes it clear that he's not simply like a really good man, a great teacher with lots of wisdom. No, what does he say? He says he is God himself. I and the Father are one. The Greek word here for one doesn't refer to one person. Jesus and the Father are not the same person. They are two different persons, but they are one essence. They are both God. And that means that Jesus has the same power. He's just as whole. He's just as all-knowing as the Father is. So apply that to Jesus' words, "I know my sheep." That means that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who is God, knows you better than anybody else in the world knows you. He knows exactly how your week went. He knows what you're struggling with. He knows what you're worried about. And he cares about what you are feeling. But he also knows every time you let him down this week. Every time you kind of thumbed your nose at him and said, "I'm going to do what I want to do." Every time that you and I became the dumb sheep who decided to run away from him and not listen to him, and in so doing were attacked by the evil one. And yet, in spite of our foolish ways, what did our good shepherd do? Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, and I lay down my life for the sheep." If you think about it, isn't that why we listen to our shepherd? Because he laid down his life for us. He's given us his life so that we can be right with God. It's that sacrifice, it's that love for us that now compels us to want to listen to him, to say with the prophet of old, "Speak, Lord, your servant heareth." Or in this case, "Speak, good shepherd, I, your sheep, listen." You might say that's the first reason we listen to our good shepherd, because of who he is, that he's God. He knows us. He loves us. He's cared for us. And that leads us to the second reason. We listen to the voice of the good shepherd because of what the shepherd gives. How did Jesus put it? "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life." When you think about all the voices in our world today that promise us all kinds of things, everything from, you know, a slimmer waistline to a fuller head of hair, for a better night's sleep to a better golf game, all of which only deals with the here and now, to think that Jesus offers us something that extends way beyond that. A life in the presence of God forever. Eternal joy and happiness. An existence where there is no pain, no stress, no fear, no death. As John said in Revelation, the Lamb at the center of the throne will be our shepherd. He will lead us to springs of living water, and God will wipe every tear from our eyes. And if you think about it, that eternal life that the shepherd gives isn't something that merely starts, you know, the day we die. We already have life now. From the time that God planted faith in our hearts, at the time of our baptism, or when we heard the voice of the shepherd, we now are adopted into God's family. We're his children. We have a relationship with God. That's life already now. And on top of that promise to give us eternal life, he also promises us that he's going to keep us in his grace until the day we breathe our last. What's Jesus say? "I give my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." No one will snatch them out of my hand. Someone might ask, what does that mean? Like Jesus is saying, it's impossible for us to lose our faith. Is Jesus saying, you know, once saved, always saved? No, he's not. You and I, as believers, run the risk of losing our faith. But if that happens, it won't be God's fault for doing something or not doing something. It will be our fault. What does Scripture say? Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. In other words, God uses his word to plant and preserve faith in our hearts. The only way that faith shrivels up and dies is if we don't hear the word. If we don't listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. If we decide we've got better things to do, we've got other voices to listen to, our faith will die. That's a warning to believers. But it also comes with a promise. Jesus invites us, come and listen to the Good Shepherd. I mean, let's face it, there are a lot of voices that we could listen to today. Voices that oftentimes just leave us feeling anxious or angry or bitter or stressed. God offers us a better voice to listen to. A voice that ultimately puts our hearts at peace. It's the voice of the Good Shepherd. The Shepherd who knows you by name and loves you still the same. A Shepherd who holds you tight in his arms and will never let you go. God bless his sheep, his lambs, fathers and mothers, sons and daughters, as we continue to listen to the voice of our Good Shepherd. Amen.
Thank you so much for spending some time with us and worshiping with us online today. We are so glad you fed your faith through the work of Mount Olive, and we'd love to know that you fed your faith. So head on over to MountOliveAppleton.com and click the online friendship register, or just click the link in the description here. It takes about 1 minute to fill out. Thanks so much for spending time with us. God's blessings on your day.